I like big books and I cannot lie. Kim and Julie sure can't deny. When a book walks in with a big thick spine, we're gonna have a good time. So baby, wanna talk books with ya? You get the picture. Just push play and subscribe and turn to chapter 5. Hey.
And we're back.
Yay! I have missed you. I've missed y'all. So excited.
It's been way, way, way too long.
I know.
I was just telling you before we got on a call today that this week I've been going to bed and literally thinking about all the things that I want to talk to you about on the podcast. And then I'm sure I'll forget all of them. Like, they've just all left my brain. And I'm like, hi, Kim.
You should have stuck them on those fancy post-its you bought.
I know. I got some TikTok translucent sticky notes, but I bought them from a small business, not from a big corporation. So look at me go.
Yeah.
I also bought a watermelon tie-dye shirt. Did you send me that?
I did. I sent you. I was like, Julie, you need this in your life.
I immediately bought it. So I have a watermelon tie-dye shirt. I got the kids some slime baking kits, which are super cute. I got this like dog poop bag holder for my leash. I am just on a TikTok buying spree, evidently.
I love it. I love it so much.
Oh, and I got a perfume, like a little perfume sample set. Do you know, if you guys don't watch TikTok, just ignore this part, but they have this one. It's like, I think it's called Laurel Canyon. And then there's a number. Have you seen that? It's all over TikTok. So anyway, got their little sample set. Ironically, I don't wear perfume.
I don't either. Like, not at all.
I don't
not
either.
Even on date night. My perfume is Dove Clinical Strength Deodorant and mom smells. Right.
So I got a little perfume sample set, but it is, nice. It smells like perfume. So
Nice. I haven't bought anything off TikTok in a really long time. I went when we first went into lockdown and I discovered TikTok. I bought, and you know me, like, I hardly ever wear makeup. I'm just like simple. I hardly ever wear any jewelry. Although I love jewelry, I just don't wear a lot of it. But I bought magnetic eyelashes that are still unopened.
Oh, no.
I bought a teeth whitening kit. Oh. I bought new makeup brushes. Like, I went nuts. And Josh is like, I need you to like go back to work and stay off TikTok because our budget can't handle this.
It's funny how we all went into quarantine thinking we're going to come out like different people.
Yes. No, I just discovered TikTok and then I discovered a whole world of things I needed, recipes I needed to make, like all this stuff. So
I love my algorithm. I really like over there how it's like I have the most random things happening, but it's all things I completely love. Like,
yeah, same. Did I tell you I'm back on Nun TikTok? No. I just watched. Yes. First of all, I've been on Native American Indigenous Peoples TikTok for a long time and I love it. And I hope I never, ever get off of it. But now I'm back on Nun TikTok. Sister Wives TikTok has like not been there for a little bit, which makes me sad because, you know, I don't even watch the show, but I don't have to because I'm on Sisters Live TikTok. But I've been on the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial TikTok.
Yeah.
And we've been sending videos back and forth. And then I'm on recipe TikTok. And now apparently this whole like Mormon mom scandal TikTok is happening. Have you heard about that?
I think that's on everybody's TikTok right now.
Okay. So that's where mine's at. But I had several videos of like nuns and like one of them was nuns playing basketball and them jokers can play. I was very impressed.
I don't know how you ended up there.
I don't know. I'm not Catholic, but you know, I love it.
Every couple of months, I circle back to stripper talk, which is not like dancing, right? It's like getting ready. It's like, hey, let's get ready.
Very interesting.
I find it very interesting too. So, but it's not constant. It's just like every like 2 or 3 months, they're like, hey, would you like to see someone get ready to go to work? I'm like, yes, I would actually.
One time I was on, this lady kept coming up on my For You page. She was like the house mom of a strip club in New Orleans.
No, I followed her. She's my favorite.
She was just precious and so thoughtful. And she laid out all these nice snacks for the dancers. I'm like, I need a house mom. I am the house mom.
I know. Wait a minute.
Where's my tips? Sorry. I just snorted. Because I just thought about her having to lay out all the costumes and stuff too, you know, and like having to clean up all that. And I'm like, no, I'm not that kind of house mom. Oh, gosh. But she's precious.
She is. I know that she hasn't been on for like what, probably a year now. So, and I know she had like a million followers, but she never monetized her platform. She didn't want anything to do with that. But I miss her. I really loved her. Yeah. She was my comfort TikToks.
Yeah, absolutely. Her and Elise Myers. Yeah. Were mine. Yeah.
Sweet. I have a comfort. There's a lady who details cars. She's a lesbian who details cars in California, and she has the driest, funniest sense of humor, but I am obsessed. I watch every single car detailing video.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to find her. Awesome. That reminds me, I have a lot of rug detailing videos, like where people take their large rugs and they get them deep clean and the vacuum will go like back and forth on it. I will watch hours of those, and then I'll watch hours of like, I've sent you these before, about blackhead extractions and then flushing the earwax out of ears, because I need to know what your earwax looks like when it comes out of your ears. I am such a weirdo. It's so relaxing.
I went to a checkup. I think it was for me. And they looked at my ears and I was like, hey, do I have a lot of earwax in there? And they're like, no, that's super uncommon. I was like, oh, okay, well, TikTok would have you believe otherwise.
Exactly. Exactly. They got some honkers coming out of those ears.
I don't know how we transition that into books.
We'll find a way.
I was surprised because I thought that I know you're deep in like Throne of Glass land.
Gosh, Steele, I feel like I'm never going to finish. I love it though.
I was seeing somebody, it was probably on TikTok, and they were posting about how they bought the same set that you did on Kindle and how it was really discouraging because you could read a whole book and then you're only like 5% into this thing instead of separating out individual books. So
I honestly wish I would have done that, even though I saved like a ton of money by buying the whole set. It says I'm only like 60% done and there's only 2 books left. I'm like, how long are these books? Are they like bigger than the Bible? Cause I feel like I'm never going to finish. Like when we heading into Revelations, you know, Selena, whatever your name is, Aileen, like we need to finish this. We need to wrap it up. Okay. Oh, man. So I don't want to tell everyone where I'm at, but I'm at a pretty cool part. I still highly recommend the series, but just don't buy the series altogether because you're going to feel like it's going to take you 5 years to finish.
Yeah, that would be, I don't know. Sometimes I get excited though, because I read a book this weekend and I read maybe for an hour or two and then I was already 20% done with the book or something. And I was like, oh shoot, this is going to be a short one. Like you just know it's about to be over.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you read other books besides Throne of Glass. So I thought we could talk a little bit about some of the books that we've read, sort of like a catch up and give people some ideas for their like TBR list for the summer. Yeah. And then if there's any books that we're going to read for the summer, just to give like everybody, you know, to know what's coming and also, you know, some inspiration for that list or lists that are ever growing.
Yes. Yes. I feel like, well, I hope they really never end, you know, because there'll always be more books that we want to read.
Yeah.
But my summer catch up is I'm still reading Throne of Glass. But I feel like I need like a small intro before I give you my list because everyone's going to think, what the crap, Kim? but I've been like on a self-help nonfiction kick. Mm-hmm. Like I always get in those, I don't know if anyone else does, but I'll get in a kick of a certain like I guess, genre. You know, I'll read a lot of like Throne of Glassy, ACOTAR kind of books. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done with that. And then I'll be in like the mafia romance vibe. And then I'll be in like a self-help, you know, nonfiction-y vibe, you know? So okay. I've in like this year has been, I never did a word for this year, but this year's kind of been like, I feel like intuitively I've been very driven to like up level, just get to the next level in business and life. And I've been home from the classroom. So I've been able to evaluate like how I think about things, how I view things, feelings. I've been able to deal with all that stuff that when you're teaching full time, you just have no time to do. Yeah. And so now I'll tell you the books I've been reading. So it's been a lot of like mindset-y, seeking things out books. So
yeah,
all of these I read on Audible, but the first one that I read was You Are a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero.
I think, but don't quote me on this, it's Sincero.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, I heard her on a podcast. So.
Yeah. Well, I read her Audible book. Like she read it, so I should know that. Sorry, my bad. But she narrated it, and I just love the way that she narrated it. I felt like she was in the car with me, just like chatting with me. So I probably will listen to that again. It had a lot of mindset around money, which is something that I'm working on. Because for those that don't know, I grew up very low income, always had a roof over my head, always had food in my belly, but the awareness of money and the lack of money was always there. And so that's followed me into my adulthood. And so I'm just trying to change my mindset around money and just like live in an abundance mindset kind of, you know?
Yeah.
So that book was really, really good. And then for the money mindset books, I'm actually listening right now to Rich AF, Rich As, the F word, by Amanda Francis, which is the one that you suggested. So I immediately went to Audible and got it. And I want to order the journal, but I think I might listen to it first and then order it. I don't know, but I'm going to take a road trip tomorrow. So that is going to be like number one, what I listen to.
What do you think about her voice? Because if you listen to the Audible, or like I read the reviews first, because it was recommended to me when we did the Wild Alignment Summit, we had Gigi Beer who recommended that book. And I did that whole year of money mindset books, and I never, it like just never came into my world, that particular one. So when I looked at the reviews on Audible, and some people said like they absolutely couldn't consume the book that way because of her voice, I listened to the sample and I thought there's something about, I mean, she sounds like a traditional sort of Valley girl, even though she's from Oklahoma. But I thought I like the energy that she's bringing to it. And so I could sort of set aside some of like the voice stuff or the, you know, the way of talking for the energy that was coming through when she read it, because I love her energy. So I'm curious to hear what you think about her Audible version.
So number one, I am not one that will joke about anybody's accent because have you heard me? You know what I mean? Like I sound like the Beverly Hillbillies come to town, like redneck central. But I will say it took me a few chapters to get used to, but I love her energy. But do you watch SNL? Like are you a big SNL person? Okay. Do you know the skit, the Californians or Californians or however you say that? She reminds me of that.
Yes. Like,
but very like California Valley girl. It takes a minute, but I love her energy. I love her message so far. So yeah, I'm going to keep listening. It did not turn me off at all.
Right.
But there's times where I'm just like, you know.
I made toast for supper.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. Sorry, I have my 8-year-old at home and she's already worried about supper time. So.
I feel that. I like to know what we're having for supper too.
Sorry.
I'm really glad that you're liking those. And both of them really, even Jen's book has a lot of journal prompts too. And I think so much of what really the transformation that happens from those things does come from that journaling and working those things through.
Yeah. I haven't done her journal yet. I like literally I would buy all the journals, but like I have to fill out the ones I already have, you know?
Yeah. I have to say, I really liked the Amanda Francis journal, the companion for the book, because she literally drops, I don't even know, 5 to 10 journal prompts at the end of every chapter, which you can easily just write down. I mean, maybe not as easily when you're listening to Audible, but at first I didn't know there was a journal. So I was pausing it and writing down every single question. But having him in one place and the journal makes it so much easier. And I've just been going through and picking and choosing like what I want to kind of work through. And I feel like it broke loose things that had nothing really to do with money, but like were affecting me in different ways. So I really loved it and it's been a great companion.
Well, now, dang it, I have to get it. So what have you been reading so far?
I kind of did the opposite. I feel like I've been chasing that fiction high for the most part, except for one book, which I'll tell you about at the end, because I haven't talked to you in so long, it feels like, about books that I literally pinned my husband down like 11 o'clock the other night. And I was like, let me tell you about this book. He just sat there and was like, okay. I talked for probably 20 minutes straight. I was like, just listen. But I'll save that. So I feel like I've had a really, really good streak of books. My caveat is that actually really sucks. They're all like the first book in an unfinished series.
Oh man, Julie, no. Oh,
I know. It's just like, it's, I keep thinking I'm going to get lucky and like get one that even has a book two out, but so far that hasn't happened. So these books are all, I loved them all so much. And dang it, like you're going to have to wait for the whole experience. Yeah. So let me see. The first one I read was called The Words. This one I rated it 3 stars, but it was intriguing because it's like a modern day, what you call, I guess I would call it like a spicy book with a plot. But the female main character is a different body shape than all the other main characters and that are normally in these books. And she does go through, it doesn't just start out like fully empowered. She does go through a journey to empowerment and like how she feels. And the guy main character is like in a rock band. So it's not something I would normally read, but it was just, it was recommended and I picked it up and it was a really good story. You know, an easy read. So I would say it's like a beach type of a read. It's not like, you know, something I'm going to go back and probably read again personally, but I enjoyed it. It was really good, good for a camping trip or, you know, like that summer
vibe. Nice.
And then I got into What Lies Beyond the Veil. And I think I messaged you about this.
Yes.
Because I was saying that there's something about this book. It's not necessarily the writing because the writing wasn't bad, but it wasn't like Sarah J. Maas style writing. But the storyline had like every single. So if people don't know what like a trope is, right? What would you say? There's discussion of certain things that you really love to see in books, especially romance type books. And sorry, my son is running through here. And so some people like, you go to an inn and the main characters have to share like the same bed or what are some other tropes that people really like?
Like the best friends that fall in love or the girl that falls in love with the guy's best friend or stuff like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Or like they, you know, the who hurt you vibe. Like who did this to you?
Yes.
There's all those. So I feel like every single sort of trope that I personally like was in this book. And I loved the characters. The beginning is rough. And I would definitely say like read the trigger warnings because there is some talk of like certain types of abuse in the very beginning of the book. And it sets the stage like, I'm not saying it doesn't need to be there, but it is like, if you think you're getting into one thing and you start out and it's like that, just know, but I loved that book so much and I cannot wait for the next one to come out.
Well, I'm going to have to read that one.
Yeah. You will like that one.
Yeah.
And then the next one I read, I loved it. I think even more, Between Wrath and Mercy. the main character is 34 years old. What? And has like a kid who's, you know, 16 or something. Like,
we never get like our age group. Well, I'm a little bit old. I'm 37, but we never get main characters close to our age.
I know. It's such a good book. And it's like sort of a missed romance sort of a thing, but it's an epic adventure too. So it's not just, there's a huge plot line driving the story. You have no clue what's going on. You can kind of see him setting up some things, but that book was really, really good. And I loved it. It's also just the start of what I imagine will be many, many more books.
Nice.
And then this weekend, I know you have seen people talk about this, but there's this book called Untainted by Lillian James. Uh-uh. You seen that?
No.
So this book is, you know, I was in a mood. This is the same type of a genre, like a little bit of fantasy, a little bit of magic, a little bit of romance. I loved it. This one was the one that was pretty quick. Like I read this in a day and a half okay. while we were camping. So it's not like the longest one, but I'm intrigued. I cared about the characters. I want to know where it's going. The next book in this series is coming out in August. So not so far away that it's like,
that's not too bad.
That's not bad. I don't know about the other ones, but I know I looked that one up. And so that is my little summary of the fiction books that I've read in the last like 2 months.
That sounds good. I've already got a couple I need to read.
Yes, so, you will like all of these.
Yeah. Okay. So I talked about my money mindset books that I've read or am reading, but the two books that I have finished on Audible are, I don't even know like if I want to say this because people are going to immediately think, okay, Kim, they're a little woo-woo. But they're about manifestation. And that topic has just completely intrigued me. And I'm already like, I will research random things like my Google and like all my search stuff. It is the most random. Like my friends know this about me. Julie knows this about me. A few months ago, I was randomly obsessed with hypnotherapy. I don't know. I can't explain these things. Mm-hmm. I just want to learn about it. And then I like dive so deep into it that I can tell you everything you need to know.
Yes.
And so manifestation has been one of them. And the two Audible books that I've read, I've watched a lot of YouTube videos, but the books that I've read are 8 Secrets to Powerful Manifesting by Mandy Morris. And like the first half of the book is about her story. And I really liked it because she came, well, I don't like this part, but she dealt with domestic abuse. So I could relate to that because that's, you know, what I experienced in my first marriage. And I just thought her story was really powerful. She gets a little too woo-woo magoo for me, you know, like sometimes it's just a little too much for me to connect with per se. Mm-hmm. But I really, one of the 8 secrets that I have started practicing that has been really helpful for me is setting intentions for the day, which I know like the Christian side of that, you know, you wake up, you pray, you journal, you meditate on God's word. That is the same thing. You know, you're setting your intentions, you know, your focus is on the Lord. And then she calls these pattern interrupts. So like when and I have noticed this a lot since working from home and, you know, running my own business from my office. And prior to summer, which I know you hear my daughter playing in the background, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, I spent a lot of hours a day by myself. Mm-hmm. And so when you're going through, like you'll be sitting here and then all of a sudden you find yourself thinking negative thoughts or you have like significant negative thought patterns. And a lot of my negative thought patterns is about myself. So if I've forgotten something, if I dropped the ball on something, if I was, you know, super harsh with my kids that day because I'm exhausted, if I didn't spend enough time with my husband, you know, all those things that you start doing the negative self-talk, you have these negative patterns of thinking. And she says, when you catch yourself doing that, do a pattern interrupt. So get up and walk or go wash your face or have a glass of water or take some deep breaths or just get up if you're working and change rooms, mm-hmm. you know, like just do a pattern interrupt that thinking. And that has really helped me. And I have a long way to go on that, but it's really helped me to go to analyze and really examine the way my thought life is, you know, creating my world and how it runs my world and how I operate because of my thoughts. So anyway, that's that book. I probably will listen to it again because it had a lot of helpful things in it. The second book that I am in the middle of listening to, because you know, I read like 10 books at once. Mm-hmm. That's just who I am. My husband, Josh, actually found him on YouTube. And Josh is a searcher like me, but his searches are even more random. Like just totally random. It can be from like machine manuals to like the original Aramaic version of one of the books of the Bible. Like, I don't know. I just cannot with him. He takes it to another level. But this book is called Manifest Your Destiny by Wayne Dyer.
Oh, I love Wayne Dyer.
Okay. He is so, like, I have to re-listen to each chapter because I feel like I'm missing. It's so deep. It's so good. It's so meaty. It's like eating a really juicy steak and you don't want to miss a bite. So you just have to chew and chew and chew and chew. And I feel like I'm only on chapter 4. I've had to re-listen to the first 4 chapters before. Like, it's so good. Yeah. And he does a really good job of connecting like Christianity to this, mm-hmm. because, you know, in the Southern evangelical mindset that I was born and raised in, like, this is very against, you know, what you're taught. This is like not good, you know, mm-hmm. like, cause you're taught to, you know, God and Jesus are first, you know, this is all like witchcraft, like horoscopes are witchcraft, manifestation is witchcraft, crystals are witchcraft. And that is not the case, people. I'm telling you, I have done my research. Okay. And so Wayne, I know he's passed away, but he's left like so many good resources. And so I plan on reading more of his stuff, but this book has been really, really, really good.
I think one of my favorite books by him is, there's one that I don't know if he described it as an autobiography, but he basically looked back at all these events of his life and good and bad, and these sort of coincidences or things that happened. I put coincidences in quotes, but it was just really this beautiful look on how things work out so perfectly, mm-hmm. Even though we don't know it at the time. And mm-hmm. I just absolutely love that book. Actually, now that we're talking about it, it's inspired me to go back and pick that mm-hmm. one up again, because it's just such a special. He used to have a podcast. He was a Hay House author, and mm-hmm. Hay House, I don't know if they still do, but they had this Hay House radio and you could listen to it online, and all their authors would come on and do these shows. And so he had this call-in show and you can literally just call in and talk to him. And
I love that.
He met an author that eventually wrote for Hay House at that moment. Like, I was listening live and it was so special. But if you can listen to those archives, mm-hmm. I really love, because his work is so dense. I feel like when he talks to, like, quote, regular people, and they're bringing their like issues or, you know, questions mm-hmm. to him, it clicked. Like, for me, that really clicks when I can hear real life examples of how to apply things in every mm-hmm. category. Then I'm like, okay, I'm getting it now.
Yeah. One thing that I think it hit me last week in one of the chapters that I was listening to from this book, or it might've been one of the YouTube videos, because Josh sent me a bunch on him. There's like YouTube videos of him like speaking in mm-hmm. auditoriums, or like, it looked like a church, actually, mm-hmm. the one that I, one of the latest ones that I watched, I can't remember if it's from the book or that, but he said, you know, in order to really manifest, you not only have to manifest with your thoughts, we have to manifest with your actions. And so if you're wanting to manifest this life, and for me, it's living a life of financial freedom so that I can have more time with my family, but my actions are aligning to that, which for me, it is, you know, telling my kids to hold on so I can finish this task before I do something with them, or putting work ahead of some of the things that I need to do for my family. Cause work-life balance has always been a struggle for me because mm-hmm. I'm so task oriented that, and I get like my validation sometimes from a complete to-do list and all that stuff. So I'm like, holy crap, my actions aren't aligning, because, you know, the other day I wouldn't play with Allie because I had to finish, you know, something to do with my business. Like, that's not aligning. How can I manifest a life of financial freedom, a life of this or that, and my actions aren't aligned with that? And your actions have to align before you receive it. Like, it's not going to come to you if your thoughts and actions aren't aligned. And I'm like in the car going, oh my God, this is so good. It's like light bulbs just did not click on. They exploded. Wow. And so now when I start to do that, you know, because I've been really absent from my own social media accounts, my mm-hmm. own marketing, I don't feel like I've been really communicating as much as I normally do with clients, with friends, because I have been like head down prepping for vacation, and I'm trying to not take my laptop with me, which I'm not taking it no matter what. Yeah. But so it just hit me. I'm like, okay, you've got to align the two of them. So even if you have this to-do list, if your 8-year-old comes up to you and goes, mommy, can you paint my nails? Drop that crap and paint her nails. You know, because mm-hmm. that is way more important than getting all this stuff done for this client. Because right. I don't take on clients that don't have the aligned, you know, values that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, most of my clients are moms or, you know, family oriented. So they'll tell me in the discovery call, or they'll tell me in our meetings, you know, your family comes first. So why am I making that the priority? No, mm-hmm. Allie and Seth and Josh are the priority. So it's just, his stuff has been so good. Even if you're not woo-woo and you just want to like learn some really deep, amazing, incredible things about life, Wayne Dyer, just look him up. He's mm-hmm. so good.
He also has this book. We can link it below, with his daughter that they wrote together. And it's Lessons She Learned, or it could just be from her actually, but it was also a way of like, she's saying, you know, the biggest takeaway she learned from growing up with him as a father, because he has like 12 children or something like that.
I did not know that.
He has a lot of children. I mean, it could be 8. Sheesh. One of them just passed away actually last week. One of his children did. So anyway, really, I love that so much for you. That makes me happy.
Yeah. So, and then my last two are just thrown a glass. And then I just needed like a break from all like the heavy mindset-y stuff. So I reread a series called Bear to You by Sylvia Day. It's really spicy. So if you're not like in that place in your life, don't even go near it and don't judge me for it. But it's really good. It's like modern day, kind of like upper class meets this like billionaire mogul. They fall in love, but she's like, I don't know if you love me. And he's like, yo, I love you. I'll kill for you. And he did. And like, you know, but it's really good.
I feel like the people, our spicy episode, I have to check, but it has been like in the top 3 most downloaded yes. episodes of the podcast. So whether people were just curious or what, they really liked that episode. So I think they're just probably jotting notes.
I love it. You need some spice in your life. You really do. I love it.
So talking about random like books, and that sent me on like the most weird Google searches, I was looking at, I think I follow Rich Roll on Twitter, and he's an endurance athlete and he's also vegan. I don't remember why I followed him, but he was talking about his book. And so I was like, you know what? That sounds good. Cause I'm still doing that like couch to 5K app for my running. So I was like, I'll learn something about running. And also I think he became an endurance athlete at a later age in life. So I can relate to that too. Not that I'm going to be an endurance athlete, but then I went to the Audible reviews and everybody like hated it so much. They hated his book. So, but they said, if you're looking for a book, like, you know, what you thought this is going to be, read Born to Run. So without reading even the description of what the book was about, I was like, okay, I'm going to read that book. And I have to say, it has been probably my favorite read of the entire year so far.
Oh my gosh.
It is this cast of characters that are endurance athletes, these insane races that are like hundreds of miles over, you know, 24, 40 hours. They don't rest. They don't sleep, up mountains, in Death Valley, like these extreme conditions. And then, and I am not, I've always wanted to be, but I am not a big like science gal. So they start bringing in this science stuff, like stuff, and how it relates, like why human beings even like to run, like what's in our makeup. And he talks about how Homo sapiens like evolved and survived, and how he theorized that one of the ways was that they ran down their prey, because basically animals can't sweat. The only way they can get rid of like the excess heat from exertion is by panting. And human beings are the only ones that can sweat through like our skin. So we can do these distances that no other animals can. So he theorized that humans, because of this, could basically run down like deer, antelope, or whatever. And then the deer,
like Twilight.
I don't know. Is that in Twilight? Do they just say drop dead?
I don't know. Go ahead.
So sorry. So he like called up his brother-in-law and he was like, hey, you want to go like chase down an elk till it dies this weekend? He was like, okay. Anyway, that actually wasn't successful. They found like there was a lot of things they didn't know. But then he found this other scientist who at 22 was like, you know what? I need to go study how Bushmen in Africa like track game. And he went on this whole journey till he found this tribe. And then he's like, I'm going to live here for 4 years. And basically, one of the ways that they hunt game is by doing this, like running down whatever the equivalent of, you know, deer is in Africa. And the average miles that it takes to do that is 26 miles, which is the modern day marathon. So
wow.
I don't know. It just brings it all around. But one of the things it also talks about, this is like my Google search, is how barefoot, like the barefoot athletes, barefoot running, barefoot, like, I don't know.
That's a thing.
Barefoot shoes.
People run.
You should look on TikTok. If you search barefoot running.
I bet there's barefoot nuns. I bet. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. I bet though.
So it talks about how your feet are basically like, you know, if you get your arm in a cast or something and your muscles start to atrophy almost right away, it's basically saying like modern shoes are like a cast. And it goes into the history of Nike, and we all know Phil Knight, but I didn't know there was another like equal partner who had the ideas for the running shoes, and how not only did they sort of like ruin this country's feet with running shoes in general, and the more cushion, the more this, the more that's just like trashing our feet, but that they knew it. So they've been doing these things interestingly to try to correct it. So the whole thing, like, I'm like, I need to build my foot muscles. Luckily, because you know,
are you going to run barefoot in Alaska?
I was like, and there's people that do it in the snow. They had like videos of them running barefoot anyway. So I was like, I'm going to run barefoot now. Or they have like shoes that are the equivalent of that. Cause I don't know if I can handle that on the, whatever, the pavement, but I have
not
friend,
do that in the South.
It'd be too hot, right?
Oh my God. It would burn your feet, especially in the summer. You would literally burn your feet. Go ahead.
I have a friend who is like been all, for years. She's talked about these barefoot shoes and how they go barefoot. And so I texted her and I said, I think I'm going to start running barefoot. She was like, absolutely do not do that. It takes you a year to 2 years to build up enough muscles in your feet to be able to do something like that without injury. So, but it turns out she had these shoes. There's transition shoes to like barefoot shoes that are just basically really thin sole. They don't have like heel support. And so you start wearing those to build up your muscles. And she had a pair in exactly my size that she got at Goodwill that she was like, you can have these shoes if you want and try them out.
Oh
so I have been down so many rabbit holes, but it's just like stimulating every part of my brain because every person in this book is so, I don't want to say crazy, but they're just like living life so much on the edge of like what anybody else would consider normal or so far beyond it.
An Enneagram 7 book. Like I wish y'all could see her face, like Julie's face as your energy is like, ah,
Every time I turn on the book, I'm like, what? And that's why I was telling you, I had nobody talk about this book with. So I pinned my husband down and I was like, hey, guess what? I want to tell you about this book because he has all these foot issues. And I'm like, and then if you do this and then you do this and then you can transition and then your feet will be great. And he's like, I have to wear steel toe boots at work. And I was like, that's fine. Every time you're not in work, you could wear these shoes. He's just like, okay, thanks.
Well, did you get the shoes though?
I got them yesterday. So the ones that like the transition ones for me. So
yeah.
I haven't tried them on yet. I'm going to try them out. But I also did like a run where you use sort of the technique of like running barefoot. And my feet and calves and ankles were so sore like immediately.
Really?
So it's just like a completely different set of muscles and you run a different way. But there's a lot of athletes in the book that are like 40 and over, like 40 to 90. And they're using this technique to run, but they also said like college programs that are running programs, they train barefoot and then they only run their races in their shoes. So it just, I'm sure there are people that know about this and it just was introduced to me, but also the people in the book, like there's a guy who nobody even knows his real name. He's living in these like remote canyons of Mexico. There's an indigenous tribe that lives in these canyons and runs like 100 miles for fun in like a day. Like they just, or they'll run like 30 miles and be like, woohoo. And they just, then the endurance runners came down. There's this like cute couple that's in their 20s that all they do, they like drink hardcore, go all out in life. And then they wake up and they're like, let's go run, you know, 50 miles for fun. There's just like such a variety of people in this book and every one of them just makes you want to live like a little bit more, you know? So you put that with all the nerdy facts, but packaged in a way that's like in a story, then I don't know. This book is my jam for sure. Not that I didn't love the Rich AF book because I'm on my second listen of that. Those are my two nonfiction, but this book just, it has my heart right now. I'm just, and really I haven't learned a ton about like running technique, which is what I thought it was going to be. But I feel like it's kind of, it's one of those books that I feel like I'll never be the same after having read this book.
Oh man, my chubby bunny self has to read it now. Oh, I need to know about it.
I can't wait. I thank you for indulging me. You and anybody who's still listening, because they might have just
absolutely. I'm excited. Your energy is like, huh? Now I need to read it.
Oh my gosh, I freaking love this book. I can't wait to see how it ends. It's all kind of coming together in this one race that this one person organized, but I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. What an amazing storyteller, too. This guy is so.
Oh yeah. So yeah, when, cause I had to update, for those of you that don't know, I am also Julie's VA. So I was updating her website to put her monthly book recommendations on there. And I was looking at it and I, in my head, I thought it was like this fiction, like Born to Run, like something. And then Amazon showed me all these different things. And I'm like, I don't know what book it is. And then when you sent it to me, I'm like, well, this is interesting.
It's intriguing. So do you have any books? Are you just going to like power through and finish on a glass this summer?
Have to, because I have so many from my TBR list from this year to read. I've got to read the one from Blood and Ash that's out. The two of them, the prequel and the latest one that you, I think you gave it a 3. I still need to finish the series though. You know what I mean? Like I need to, and then what's the other one? Gleam.
Yeah, because that new one is coming out. That's on my TBR because that new one's coming out at the end of June.
That it's coming up this month, actually, because it's the first. There was several that I wanted to read. I'm going to do Zodiac Academy again in the fall. So I've got to like catch up for reals, for realsies. So I just thrown of glasses. Oh, Crescent City. I need to read that whole thing. I know.
I can't wait.
I have got to get on the ball.
So Kayla, who might be editing the podcast right now, sent me a Voxer message, like a voice message after she read Crescent City, because there's just like, you can't talk about it online. But you have to like tell somebody, you have to talk about it. So
yeah.
I am anxiously pre-awaiting those messages from you as you're reading that.
Oh man.
That two books.
Oh man. Yeah. You know, I'm going to ask you questions and then you're not going to tell me.
You tell me, Holly, not to tell you.
But I want to. I want you to, but I don't. But I do, but I don't. Like, tell me, but don't tell me.
Sometimes it's so hard.
I know. But I'm excited. I've just got to get through Throne of Glass.
I feel like I'm very much just chasing the dopamine right now. So yeah. I have a bunch of screenshots of books saved. And I have a couple that are already downloaded to my Kindle, but really I'm just like following that inspiration. So I'll go open it up and like the first book that sounds amazing. And if the first couple pages are good, I'm all in it. But I have not given up on Shardless. If you've listened, I am now at like, I think the last episode we did, I was at 82% and I was thinking about abandoning it. I keep going back and listening to a few minutes here and there. So I don't know, I might be like at 87%, but it hasn't redeemed itself to me once like the weird zombie things came in. I haven't recovered from that. And also two things that are really frustrating, the zombie creatures. Cause I'm like, that's unoriginal. Like think of something else. And even in Sarah J. Maas's books, like when there's like a theme of that sometimes happening where like somebody outside of the person is controlling their like body and their actions. And I don't like that. That's like my anti trope. And then it's the other thing is like, I can get with like a slow burn romance, but also like you got to get there someday. And I don't like a bunch of misunderstandings between like the main romantic characters, because, you know, sometimes you see that in like high school, like college type of books, there's just like weird dramatic misunderstandings. But when two characters that are supposed to like be really close just refuse to talk to each other about anything, and then you're like, why? They try to explain why, but I can't get behind that. So those are the reasons why I'm still, I don't know, maybe that'll update, but I don't think so. Like that's my take on that book.
Yeah. I probably will not read that. Just the word zombies was like, shut down, not doing it.
And they didn't come in until so late in the book. Like where did that come from?
Why?
Not traditional zombies, but it's their own version. I don't know. I could see that the arc could be interesting. I'm intrigued enough to not completely have like dropped it off the face of the earth or deleted it from my phone, but I don't know. Yeah. It was a 5-star read for one of the book talkers that we
really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The gal with the like long red hair. Five stars.
God, I love her.
She loved it. It's like in her top, she says one of her top books for whatever year she read it. And it's like, I think maybe we have different tastes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we can't just leave on that, like kind of a note.
No, we can't. I know y'all have heard Allie in there.
Right. It's summertime,
guys.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us, because I know we've both been head down, but why don't you share with us like what you've been head down working on?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, where do I begin? My business started out, I was a virtual assistant, and then it kind of like transformed authentically, like not trying really I did try for Pinterest management because I took several courses for that, but like social media, emails, blogs, all the marketing things. But I am to the point in my business, and I know that so many people have gotten to this place, including you, that trading time for dollars, you know, obviously we'll still have like the client side of our business, but we want to bring in, I hate the term passive income because really no income is passive. It truly isn't. But that's the term I'm going to use because that's the term most people will gravitate towards or understand. So I want to bring in more like passive income into my business. So I am in the middle of trying to launch an Etsy store for digital templates, which I will eventually have on my website. And I hired Kelsey Roman to build my website out. It is launched. I just have not had a moment to market that. But she did a fantastic job on my website. It's KimberlyWeldon.com. And I'm in the middle of trying to write my very first blog for it. So if you go to it today, it's probably not going to be up yet. But and then, you know, prepping to be away from 8 clients for over a week. So I onboarded 2 new clients in May, which is June 1st. So I still feel like it's May. So it's just been really busy. And I think when I get really, really busy and overwhelmed, I kind of check out of social media for a while because I'm just so honed in and focused on what I need to get done. So I need to get back there to my community and really, you know, feed into them and like catch up with them and stuff because I do miss it. But so that's what I've been doing. And hopefully, you know, it will launch this summer. I wanted to launch it on July 4th, but my VA, I have a wonderful virtual assistant, Kayla, who Julie helped me hire, you know, she's just been magical and amazing. And she's an angel and I just adore her. She's helping me with this. Without her help, I would not have like one single thing done. So just because of my client load and stuff. So that's coming. So as soon as it's here, I will let y'all know, but I'm excited about that. And eventually, you know, my goal is to have several different streams of income with my business. So, you know, monetizing the blog, hopefully one day monetizing some type of social media. You know, I would love to offer some type of marketing VIP days, but right now we're at step one, which is the first or the second stream, which would be digital templates like for social media, Pinterest. I would love to do like planners because, you know, former teacher here, so planners are like life. But anyway, so Allie is bringing her chair in the room, so you're going to hear it sliding on down.
I love that. And if anybody has seen my social media, like from the graphics, and I know not everybody's going to get to see these, but the slides that you've done for the course with all the GIFs, which I know is pronounced GIFs, but I refuse to say it that way. They make me laugh. They just give me so much life. I love seeing them. So the talent that's there, like, I can't wait till you launch. If people follow you, because you're at the Weldon is Weldin.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes, Kimberly Weldon. Kimberly's just spelled the regular old way, 1985 baby here. So, but Weldon is Weldin.
So you can go to your website, but if you follow you on Instagram or any of those places, it's going to be a way to not only see like when you come back with all of your, I love your stories and all your content, but you're going to be able to see when all that launches because it's so, I know it's going to be so good.
Thank you. I'm excited. You know, just been head down doing all the things, but I'm excited to get it launched. So I'll let y'all know when it happens.
Can't wait. Okay. Well, that was like a good way to end. I would also say that, and I never say this enough because it seems like cheesy. And also sometimes I think people just tune it out. But if you like these podcasts and these episodes, mm-hmm. it actually really helps if you go and rate it on mm-hmm. iTunes, because there's really no way for people to know, like, if, you know, they can't see like your download numbers, they can't see any of that stuff, but ratings, people are like, oh, it has ratings. Apple also like shares it with more people because they think they mm-hmm. would like it. So if you feel inspired and you have like extra 2 minutes, go give us a rating, whatever you think. I'm still waiting for, I don't know. Am I calling this in? Am I manifesting the wrong thing? But I keep thinking if I had like a really funny 1-star rating, I would make it into a t-shirt and like rock it.
Yeah. No, don't manifest that. All fives, baby. All fives.
Okay. Well, rate it whatever you feel like rating it. I'm not going to. Okay. Then I won't say about the 1-star rating, but I will do it someday. Yeah. It's going to happen for sure. And yeah, that would be, we would love that. We would love to see them. I read every single one. Maybe I'll start mm-hmm. being one of those podcasters that read them like at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
Very official. Oh, my friend. Well, we will be popping in with book episodes throughout the summer because we all just need a break sometimes, give our mind mm-hmm. a rest and some fun to talk about. So stay tuned for more of those from us.
Yes. Thank y'all. Bye.
Bye.